Even in 2014, sexual orientation is a touchy subject in the workplace. The Merit Systems Protection Board has just finished taking a comprehensive look at workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation. Joining us now to discuss it is MSPB's General Counsel, Brian Polisuk. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
And also Doug Nearly, the Project Manager. Doug, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right, Doug, we're going to give you the first question, and that is, what did you basically find? How often do federal employees believe sexual orientation causes discrimination in the federal workplace?
Well, Tom, we survey the federal workforce every several years, and over the last couple administrations of that survey, we've seen about 1% of our federal respondents saying that they were the direct targets of sexual orientation discrimination. Now, in 2010, that's the most recent data we have from our survey. We also asked federal employees not only if they were the direct targets, but if they believe sexual orientation happens in their work unit. An additional 3% said yes, they believe in the past 2 years it has happened in their work unit.
And put that into perspective, because in terms of percentages, you could say, well, it's a relatively small percent, although the fact that there's 1 or 3% at all is remarkable.
That's right. We certainly like to see that zero. We're probably never going to get there. But as far as perspective goes, that's about the same number of employees who believe discrimination occurs based on national origin or marital status, or that violations of veteran preference laws occur in the workplace.
All right. And so, Brian, what is the status of law and regulation regarding that kind of discrimination?
Well, as the report says, Tom, the law has been interpreted in a way that prohibits, essentially going back to the 1980s, prohibits sexual orientation in the workplace. A provision of Title V in the U.S. Code has been interpreted that way. But, you know, I think it's important to note that an interpretation is just that, an interpretation. And it is certainly possible that it could be subject to change at some point in the future.
Can you give us an idea of what form, if you know, what form does this discrimination take place? Or does federal employees perceive that discrimination takes place? Because, again, we are talking about perceptions here.
We're absolutely talking about perceptions, perceptions differ, as you know, from person to person. We are very open-ended with our questions. This could be anything from, I didn't receive the last job for which I applied because of my orientation, all the way to I didn't receive an award, I didn't receive training someone else got because of my orientation.
And so this is to be distinguished from incidents of where one peer might, I don't know, say the wrong thing to someone because of their sexual orientation, but doesn't affect their career.
Right, right. These are more, I guess I would call them more formalized forms of workplace perks or workplace things that some folks get that other folks do not. It goes beyond statements from peers.
And can you put this in context of the changes that we've seen in terms of benefit policies over the last year since the Supreme Court ruled on gay marriage and struck down the Defense of Marriage Act? Because it seems like the federal government has come a long way in making those sorts of benefits policies equal, regardless of someone's sexual orientation. Did that play into this report at all? Were you able to examine those findings?
Oh, I think I would agree that the government has done a great job with benefits. Office of Personnel Management is, I think, doing all they can. As a matter of fact, after that Supreme Court ruling came down, OPM came out with its policy, I think it was 2 days later, which for the first time allowed the same-sex spouses of federal employees to enroll in the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program. So I think the environment is certainly changing. I think it's changing for the better. How that results in attitudes about the workplace, within the workplace, I think is going to take a little more time.
And I was wondering, too, whether you know, 1%, again, who knows what that number really means. I mean, it doesn't sound like a high number. Is the fact that there is so much emphasis on it, maybe in the media and so forth, maybe people are overly sensitized to the fact of discrimination, and maybe there's too much. Do we know too much about one another in the workplace, regardless of whatever we are oriented towards?
Well, I'm not sure if we're oversensitized. I guess that's in the eye of the beholder. I certainly hope that with the attention this issue has gotten, and hopefully with our report, federal employees know what their rights are in the workplace, and they will respond accordingly to the questions we ask. And let me say, Tom, you know, 1% doesn't sound big. You know, you had the 3% for 4%. That doesn't sound big. But when you step back and you remember that the federal civilian workforce is about 1.9 million people, we're talking about 75,000 to 80,000 people who believe this happens in the workplace. So, you know, the percentages get smaller and smaller. I don't know where the cutoff is where we say this is no longer a problem. But even though the percentages are small, I think the numbers are high.
We're speaking with Doug Nearly, the project manager for the Merit System Protection Board's report on sexual orientation in the federal workplace, and also Brian Polisuk, the general counsel for the board. So, Brian, let me ask you about people's rights. You mentioned that this was the anti-discrimination part was a matter of policy, but it can be changed. What rights do federal employees have if they believe that they are being discriminated against because, say, they are gay or lesbian?
Well, currently, and the report goes into this, Emily, as far as sort of rights and remedies, there really isn't a whole lot. If an employee believes that he or she has been subjected to sexual orientation discrimination, right now they can go to the Office of Special Counsel and file a complaint, and the Office of Special Counsel may or may not investigate the complaint, depending on what's said, what's at issue, you know, a number of factors. But that's really it. And, you know, what the report states is that although, you know, the law has been interpreted as prohibiting sexual orientation discrimination, it doesn't do so explicitly. And as Doug had said earlier, you know, if Congress were to decide that legislation in this area is needed, one of the results would be that it would provide explicit rights to federal employees in the workplace.
Okay, and so that leads to the question of, in the meantime, because, you know, getting Congress to act can be quite a challenge, what recommendations do you have for agency managers to at least to do what they can administratively to prevent these kinds of incidents?
Well, I think it's really important that agencies know that OPM is asking this question of their employees through the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. That gives them a great resource to look at to see what their LGBT workforce thinks of the workplace and whether that differs from other employees. You know, hint to agencies, I don't think that the agency is going to be the only one looking at that data because that data is publicly available. We also suggest that agencies support LGBT affinity groups, and they do all they can to communicate the current protections that exist in the workplace. In 2010, we also asked employees whether they agreed if their organization had made it clear that they don't discriminate based on sexual orientation, and one-third of employees did not agree with that statement. So I think agencies can do a little better job communicating these prohibitions in the workplace to not only their supervisors but all their employees.
Brian, do you see these cases pop up on the, I guess, the judicial side of the Merit Systems Protection Board, not the research side, but the side that actually handles personnel complaints?
We haven't seen many that I'm aware of.
And why do you think that is?
You know, I really couldn't say.
And do you get the sense that overall, in terms of discrimination on this or any other grounds, that it's not that are prohibited, is getting better over time?
I think our surveys show that some practices like discrimination on religion, some other ones are consistently low, around the 1 to 2%. Others have been getting better over time. Hopefully they'll continue to get better.
And in the report, you come out pretty forcefully that Congress should, in fact, pass a law, as we've been talking about. I'm just wondering, are you moving towards the advocacy stage with Congress in this? Have you talked with any lawmakers? Is there the possibility of a bill to protect federal employees based on sexual orientation?
Well, there are two answers to that question, Emily. The first is that actually the report doesn't technically recommend legislation, and we've seen some recent stories in the press stating that, you know, the board's urging congressional action or calling for Congress to act, and I don't think that's an accurate statement of what the report says if you read it. What it does say is that basically to the extent that Congress believes that any ambiguity exists regarding this issue, it could enact legislation to make this prohibition on sexual orientation discrimination very explicit. But to answer the second part of your question, no, we're not engaging in any sort of effort to, push Congress one way or the other. This is just sort of a report that provides a lot of information to a number of people, including Congress, and if it wants to act, then it can do so.
Okay. Brian Polasek is general counsel for the Merit Systems Protection Board, and Doug Nearly is the project manager for this report, also of the Merit Systems Protection Board. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.